some taxpayers may have more than one pension.
If so, the annual allowance applies to the aggregate of all pension inputs made during the pension input period ending in the year.
It is not available per pension. The lifetime allowance is available only once. If the lifetime allowance is partly used when one pension fund vests, the remainder of the lifetime allowance can be used when benefits are taken from the other pension fund. Once the lifetime allowance is fully used, any further pension benefits will be automatically subject to the lifetime allowance charge as calculated above. To calculate how much of the lifetime allowance is remaining on the vesting of a second pension, we use the formula on your screen. The remaining lifetime allowance is the lifetime allowance for the year of vesting less the lifetime allowance previously used. The lifetime allowance previously used is calculated as the amount previously vested multiplied by the lifetime allowance for the current tax year divided by the lifetime allowance at the previous vesting. This looks like quite a complicated formula, but it won't seem as complex once we have put some numbers to it. Diane has two pensions. She was self-employed for 25 years, and in that period she made contributions to a personal pension scheme. For the last 15 years she has been employed and has been making contributions to an occupational money purchase scheme.
Diane semi-retired on the 1st of January 2010, and from that date she started to draw benefits from her personal pension. That fund was worth £1.4 million at the time of vesting. The lifetime allowance in 2009-10 was £1.75 million. On the 1st of January 2011, she retired completely and started to draw benefits from her occupational pension. That fund was valued at £800,000 in January 2011. The lifetime allowance in 2010-11 is £1.8 million. We will calculate the lifetime allowance charge assuming Diane takes any excess as a lump sum. Diane's personal pension vested in 2009-10 when it was valued at £1.4 million. At this point, there will be no lifetime allowance charge as the capital value of her personal pension fund is less than the 2009-10 limit of £1.75 million. In 2010-11, she starts to draw benefits from her occupational pension. The first step is to calculate how much of the lifetime allowance Diane has previously used. The lifetime allowance for 2010-11 is £1.8 million. We therefore take the value of her first pension, £1.4 million, divide this by the lifetime allowance for 2009-10, £1.75 million, and multiply by the lifetime allowance for the year in which the second pension vests, i.e. £1.8 million. The lifetime allowance previously used is therefore £1,440,000. The lifetime allowance remaining in 2010-11 is therefore £1.8 million less £1,440,000, giving £360,000. Diane's occupational pension fund was valued at £800,000 at January 2011. This exceeds the remaining lifetime allowance by £440,000. So tax at 55% is charged on the excess, giving a tax liability of £242,000. A simpler way to think about this is to say that in 2009-10, Diane's first pension was worth £1.4 million, being 80% of the lifetime allowance of £1.75 million. She therefore has 20% of her lifetime allowance to use when her second pension vests. This vests in 2010-11, when the lifetime allowance is £1.8 million. The lifetime allowance remaining in 2010-11 is therefore 20% of £1.8 million, being £360,000.
On now to some transitional rules. there are two types of protection for members of pension schemes in relation to the lifetime allowance charge. These are called primary protection and enhanced protection, and apply to taxpayers with interests in pension funds at the 6th of April 2006.
In other words, with funds in existence prior to the introduction of the current regime.
Taking primary protection first. Primary protection applies where a member of a pension scheme has pension rights in excess of £1.5 million at the 6th of April 2006. These are called pre-commencement rights. In this case, the lifetime allowance will be uplifted when it comes to calculating any lifetime allowance charge in future years. This uplift is done using the formula on your screen. The revised lifetime allowance is the lifetime allowance for the year of vesting multiplied by something called the primary protection factor. The primary protection factor is calculated by taking the value of pension rights at the 6th of April 2006, deducting the lifetime allowance for 2006-07, then dividing by the lifetime allowance of 2006-07. We then add 1 to arrive at the factor.
The lifetime allowance for 2006-07 was £1.5 million.
In simple terms, if, say, an individual has a pension fund worth £3 million at April 2006, this is double the lifetime allowance for 2006-07. Therefore, when he draws benefits from his pension fund at a later date, the lifetime allowance for the year of vesting is also doubled to calculate any lifetime allowance charge.
By way of illustration, Matthew has an occupational pension. The value of his accrued rights at 6th of April 2006 total £1.8 million. He retired in March 2011, thereafter drawing his pension. The lifetime allowance in 2010-11 is £1.8 million.
Matthew's pension fund at April 2006 exceeds the 2006-07 lifetime allowance of £1.5 million, so he qualifies for primary protection.
His lifetime allowance for 2010-11 will therefore be as follows.
We first calculate the primary protection factor. The factor is £1.8 million less £1.5 million divided by £1.5 million. This gives 0.2. We add 1 to give us a primary protection factor of 1.2.
When Matthew retires in March 2011, his lifetime allowance will be the allowance for 2010-11 multiplied by 1.2, giving £2.16 million. Only if Matthew's pension fund exceeds £2.16 million in March 2010 will he have a lifetime allowance charge.
Individuals were required to register with HMRC if they wish for primary protection to apply. This registration had to be made no later than the 5th of April 2009. Enhanced protection is available for all taxpayers, even those with pension funds below the lifetime allowance. If an individual registers for enhanced protection, his pension fund will not be subject to the lifetime allowance when the fund vests. This is irrespective of its value at that time. However, no further contributions are permitted to be made to the fund after April 2006. Any contribution to the fund after April 2006 will invalidate the enhanced protection and leave the fund liable to the lifetime allowance charge. Registration for enhanced protection had to be made no later than the 5th of April 2009. Individuals could register for both primary and enhanced protection. Authorised payments, i.e. payments which can be made under tax-privileged rules, can only be made from a pension scheme once the taxpayer has reached the minimum retirement age.
This is currently 55.
Unauthorised payments can be taken at any time, but these will be subject to a tax charge. Individuals do not have to formally retire to draw benefits from a pension scheme. Also, individuals do not necessarily have to take all their pension benefits at the same time. Some can be deferred to a later date. Some pension schemes will not be registered with the revenue and exist outside the tax-favoured rules. These schemes are known as Employer Financial Retirement Benefit Schemes, or EFIRBs. Such schemes are typically set up by employers to top up retirement benefits for senior employees, executives and directors, where annual pension input is often well in excess of the annual allowance, or where the capital value of the fund is high enough to create a lifetime allowance charge. To provide top-up benefits, an employer must establish an EFIRBS. The main difference between an EFIRBS and a registered scheme is the denial of certain tax advantages for an EFIRBS. Employer contributions to an EFIRBS on behalf of an employee are not taxable benefits for the employee. However, employee contributions to an EFIRBS do not attract any tax relief. It is unusual for employees to make any contributions, and EFIRBS often prohibit such contributions and accept payments only from the employer. Employer contributions to an EFIRBS will only be deductible as a trading expense for the employer if they satisfy the wholly and exclusively test. However, relief for employer contributions will not be given until the period in which the employee draws the benefits. This could be many years after the expense was incurred. Lump sums paid to an employee on retirement will be subject to income tax. There are three examples for you to attempt to complete this session.
In order to calculate the annual allowance charge, we first need to calculate the value of the pension input amount for the pension input period ending in 2010-11. We therefore need to compare the value of the rights at the end of the period to the value of the rights at the beginning of the period. At the end of the period, Raoul had 15 years' service and a salary of £260,000, giving a maximum pension entitlement of £130,000, which we multiply by 10 to give us the value of rights. The value of the rights at the beginning of the period, calculated in the same way, are £980,000, giving a pension input amount of £320,000. This exceeds the annual allowance by £65,000, giving an annual allowance charge of £26,000. There is no lifetime allowance charge in 2009-10, as the capital value of Natalie's occupational pension fund is £600,000, which is less than the 2009-10 limit of £1.75 million. In August 2011, she will draw her personal pension, the capital value of which will be £2 million. The lifetime allowance for 2011-12 is £1.8 million. We first calculate the amount of the lifetime allowance previously used. This is £656,250 divided by £1.75 million multiplied by £1.8 million, which gives us £675,000. The lifetime allowance remaining in 2011-12 is therefore £1.8 million less £675,000, giving £1.125 million. The lifetime allowance charge for 2011-12 is therefore the pension fund vesting at August 2011, which is £2 million, less the remaining lifetime allowance of £1.125 million, giving £875,000. The tax charge is then at 55% of this, as Natalie will take the excess fund as a lump sum. This gives a tax charge of £481,250. Mr. Wilkins' gross regular pension savings are £75,000 per annum. This already exceeds the special annual allowance of £20,000, therefore the full amount of the increase will be subject to the special annual allowance charge. £15,000 will be charged to tax at 30%, giving a special annual allowance charge of £4,500.
This concludes this lecture on advanced aspects of pension schemes.